breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Flames pressing down in the corner, swinging it around on the near side for Rasmus Anderson. A long shot, and they score! It went right through Hutchinson and was laying behind him when he thought he had covered it up. And that will end any thought of a first goal for Austin Matthews, because the Calgary Flames have scored the first goal of the game.
Well, the way the night started, you just got the sense it wasn't going to be Toronto's night. Leafs fall 3-0 here to the Calgary Flames. It's time for Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga joined alongside Gord Stellick on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. Sam McKee and Andrew Holland along for the ride as well. As per usual, Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca will drop by. We'll go to Zoom as well, hear from the participants in tonight's game. But Gord, just had that feeling. It's something about February 22nd, I think.
You're talking
happy
about
anniversary,
the,
Gord.
Yes. We're talking about the Zamboni goaltender, and you know, maybe because of COVID world, there was not enough team counseling involved for all the players to fully exercise that memory. Yeah, they were offensively impotent, for want of a better word, a year ago, and had some chances today, though. Had some chances. You know, the one thing I am glad about, speaking about goaltenders, well, first of all, February 22nd, bang bang. Like, we hear the two number one goaltenders can't play. Like, yeah. I don't know what Calgary made their announcement 2 minutes before Toronto made their announcement about Markstrom versus Freddie Anderson. And so Michael Hutchinson, which you heard that first goal of the game relatively early by Sam Bennett, which was a softie, and you thought, oh, my God, here we go again. Well, no, to his credit, he played half decent after that. 34-33 shots on goal favored the Leafs. 0-7. Oh, my God, for 7 on the power play, the Toronto Maple Leafs, compared to 2-5 for the Calgary Flames. So not just the offense, the power play just did not have it.
You're right. And with that in mind, Gord, let's bring in Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. Luke, thanks so much for doing this. It's funny, Luke, if you were to tell me going into tonight's game that special teams would play a factor and a positive factor for one team or another, I would have thought the Leafs would win this game. But it was the exact opposite, wasn't it?
Absolutely. This was their least effective power play performance of the season, 0-7, by a long shot. I was just looking it up, and the previous worst is they went 0-3 against Ottawa one night. So it's not very often you get 7 chances with the man advantage. One of those was a 5-on-3, and the last one was a 6-on-4 because they pulled Hutch and tried to get a goal that way, and nothing was getting by Big Save Dave tonight. So special teams were a major factor. Another big factor, I think, was that Calgary scored first. I think people in the city have kind of gotten used to Austin Matthews open up the scoring. And Toronto plays a lot different when they have the lead than when they're trying to fight back from one. And I wonder if that was maybe the thinking of Sheldon Keefe by loading up that top line. Maybe he thought because the group had so many injuries, if they could load up with an all-star line and get an early lead, maybe they could hang on. But Calgary got that Sam Bennett goal, and then special teams kind of took care of the rest.
Yeah, and you know, we'll talk a bit about going down 1-0, going down 2-0, and all that, which hasn't happened at least very often. But Luke, when you mentioned special teams, the strange thing was, even though Calgary ends up being 2-5 on the power play, Maple Leafs, how many chances did they have shorthanded? And Ilya Mikheyev, in particular, I mean, the shorthanded
Grabner
was way, and yeah, well, God love Nick Alberga. I think you saw his tweet. He just said, is he becoming the 2021 version of Michael Grabner? Is Ilya Mikheyev? Let's hope that's not the case, but holy mackerel, he couldn't have created better chances, and there were a couple others there, too, that were doozies. And just could, like, I mean, clear-cut breakaways when they were shorthanded that they didn't get on the power play or even strength, and just couldn't put it in.
That's the sport, right? On one end, Mikheyev has this golden opportunity, you know, to tie the game up. And on the other, on the very same power play, Tkachuk gets his blade on a tip, and all of a sudden it's 2-0, and it makes it that much harder to come back. I really like Mikheyev as a penalty killer. He's really impressed me this season in terms of his decision-making. You know, there's been a few times where he's had the puck in the offensive zone on the PK, and then he circled it back to his own defenders just to kill another, 5 seconds or something. You just want to see some hands finish. Spezza had a good chance on the PK as well, on a 2-on-1 that was well played by, I think it was Anderson. They just couldn't get on the board. And, you don't score a goal. It's tough to win the game, and especially with Michael Hutchison thrown in as kind of a surprise starter. You got to give the guy a little bit of run support.
Always a great surprise on a Monday during a pandemic, I tell you. With Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca, it's Nick Helberga and Gord Stellick breaking down a 3-0 loss here to the Calgary Flames on Leafs Nation postgame. Now, it's quite a day. And again, Luke, we've talked ad nauseum throughout this season how different it has been for you covering this team. Was this indirectly load management, what we saw today from the Maple Leafs with the bevy of players out of the lineup?
Oh, I don't think so.
No?
I wonder about how much pain Joe Thornton's in. I mean, I guess that's the guy you're probably thinking in terms of load management. There was a couple heavy hits that he took in the Montreal game Saturday night. I mean, I think the Habs threw over 40 hits at the Leafs that mm-hmm. night. And there was a couple where I was like, oh, that's got to hurt if you're just coming back from a sore rib. So I wonder if he was in a little bit of pain. Because we have to remember, ribs, yes, it may be healed enough for you to play, but it's still a little sensitive when you're playing in the NHL. So I wonder if he was in a little bit of pain. I guess the good news is that he's day-to-day. Hyman's just a trooper, right? He blocks two shots off the same foot in 1 week, finishes both games. But if Hyman's anywhere close to playing, I think he suits up just because they need him so bad. And then the Muzzin one's kind of interesting because they needed this sounded like they need the swelling to go down or to get a better look at the bone that was cracked in his face to know when he'll be back. But Keith said that when he does come back, he'll be wearing a full shield for sure. So a rough string of injuries. Good news is that Campbell, things are progressing well, so we may see him in a week or so. But, you throw Wayne Simmonds into the mix, and the Leafs have really been hit with the injury bug.
Well, yeah, and again, it was because you're not there for the skates and things like that, like before, just like bang, 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 a lot of surprises. And I was, the Freddie Anderson one, and we would talk, Luke, like the heady days, and most Leafs Nation postgame have been pretty heady shows about the Leafs' performance. But once Campbell got hurt and you just said, you're a Freddie and Anderson injury away from what you really wanted to avoid. And that's not meant to be personal against Michael Hutchison. I guess you can't help but be personal that way, but it really isn't. I mean, that's why they got Aaron Dell, the whole thing, and tried to keep the third goaltender, didn't wave him through till something came up, just all of a sudden, yeah, you're back again. And again, I will say that, the guy got no luck last year, got no team support last year because the team was really in a rut. There were a lot more positives I thought about his performance tonight, but again, the early thing, the bad first goal, and that's just a tough one for any goaltender. And if he's going to play a few more games, hopefully he can play more like, last game, just, be steady over 60 minutes and get his share of W's. But this is not what you signed up for this year.
No, I mean, they signed him to be the fourth string goalie, right? To have a veteran presence with the Marlies and to fulfill the proper requirements to expose a goalie in the expansion draft. I mean, that's mostly why they signed him, and for depth. I mean, I'm sure Kyle Dubas was, he's a smart guy. I'm sure he thought there was some threat that if they had to put Aaron Dell on waivers, they may lose him. So, they wanted a third stringer, but here we are, and Hutchison has now started as many games as Jack Campbell. I mean, that's the way hockey goes, right? And especially this season, we're seeing it all over the league how important depth is. As for that first goal that Sam Bennett, I think he called it on the broadcast. He called it one of the easiest goals he's ever had. All he had to do was tap it in, and watching Freddie enough, you would imagine that he just gobbles that one up, and there's no rebound sitting there on a platter for Bennett, and that kind of set the tone. But like I said before, I really think when your backup goalie's in there, you got to score some. And they hit some posts. Barabanov, I think, ringed a couple off Riddick's face. Yeah. It's just one of those nights they weren't getting the bounces. And you got to look at it from the other side. The Flames needed this way more than Toronto needed it. So they came out with a little bit of jump.
Yeah, you're right. There was that element of desperation when it comes to the Calgary Flames. And certainly, I think, you know, Leafs fans can sleep okay tonight knowing that, you know, Hutchinson was okay. He made 30 saves and they didn't score goals. So, I mean, you really can't blame the goaltender, whatever string he is in this game. With Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. So Nylander plays a season high 21-52. John Tavares plays 22-30. What was your read on Sheldon Keefe deciding to put Tavares with Matthews and Marner and have Nylander drive his own line?
I thought it was to get John going offensively 5-on-5 to reward him. I'm sure it crossed his mind. Should I put Nylander up there? Because he did play Nylander with, you know, basically the hottest duo in hockey there last Thursday in the Ottawa game to try and give him a jump. But I think maybe he thought he didn't want to reward Nylander for his performance Saturday towards the end of the game. And that's not something he said. That's just me speculating. But I think he wanted to get John going, and I think that's why he tried it. But, you know, they were getting caved in. They were giving up more shots. They were on for that Bennett goal against. They weren't dominating. I mean, you form an all-star line like that and put your three highest-paid players all out at the same time, you don't want to just have a shutdown line. You want to score a bunch of goals. So I think he thought maybe – we're a little shorthanded tonight. Maybe if we load it up, we can get an early lead. I think that may have been his thinking. I don't think he's spoken yet here, but we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, talking to Brent Gunning and Josh Goldberg in the first intermission, it's funny. I think it was Brent said right off the bat, oh, my God, memories of Columbus.
Just, yes,
and exactly. Marner ended up playing 26-plus minutes. But to your point, with Thornton being out, he had something to try. And I liked him trying that. But to go back to the point you and Nick discussed earlier, you know, the Calgary Flames were a whole load of hurt of late. And the Maple Leafs have been able to avoid that. And hopefully they can for 56 regular games this season. But right now it's Vancouver and Calgary that are in a world of hurt, and good on them. Just flat out good on the Calgary Flames. You know, you need to win a game quite often. You need an excellent goaltending performance, and you need the team to step up a little bit and do those kind of things. And the Calgary Flames, that would have been a deep hole to lose four in a row. So I give them full marks.
And they got embarrassed, right? Losing 7-1 in the Battle of Alberta, where it's supposed to be, you know, neck and neck and kind of a real tough affair, and Connor McDavid just kind of put on a show. So it's not just that they've lost a bunch in a row. It's kind of how they lost and by wide margins. So this is big for them and good for Riddick too. Mm-hmm. You know, they've really leaned on Markstrom in the first part of the year. And, you know, you flash back a year and a half or so, and Riddick was at the All-Star game for representing this team. And there was much discussion over whether he's a true number one. And the second they signed Markstrom, all of a sudden he's their bona fide number one. And Riddick has really taken a back seat and hardly been used. And he didn't have a good first showing. So for him to come in into the, you know, the number one team in the league and pitch a shutout, I mean, that's a big confidence booster for that team. And this is, you know, I've heard people in Calgary describe this road trip, this Ontario road trip for them is kind of a make or break stretch of the season. And because of the nature of the division, you don't want to tumble too far. And it seemed to me almost as if the Calgary Flames had taken the Vancouver Canucks spot of everyone kind of pointing the fingers and wondering where the next shoe is going to drop. And I think it's just kind of the nature of everything being an interdivisional game that the urgency and the panic is much higher this season as soon as you lose three or four in a row.
Yeah, something seems to be brewing in La Belle Provence, if you know what I'm saying. Luke, thanks so much for your time tonight. Appreciate it.
I thought they were a juggernaut.
I know. I guess not anymore. Eh? Thanks, Luke.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
There you have it. Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. A 3-0 loss here to the Calgary Flames, Gordon. I think we touched, you know, clearly on a variety of points. The special teams was the biggest factor to me. Toronto 0-for-7, Calgary 2-for-5. And of that 0-for-7 for the Maple Leafs is the fact that they had a minute and change and, what, a minute and a half of 5-on-3 in the second period. It was very reminiscent and similar to the other night against Montreal where, you know, the urgency wasn't there, if that makes sense, from that 5-on-3 power play, right?
Bang on. Well, you know, what's funny, the word urgency, keep in mind they opened that second period or they opened the period last week with no urgency. It was the worst start to a 5-on-3, and then they got the goal with a second left in the first penalty. So then bang, bang. But yeah, this one, it just completed the whole time that they had that sense of non-urgency. And that was exactly the word. And I know it's not a deliberate word, because part of it is, you know, when you're in control of things and that, but you don't want to overreact. You got a plan in place. You've been successful. But yeah, it just went out there, and it felt like you said, a Monday in COVID world in February, a year anniversary of a bad memory, and you just found out you got a whack of injuries and you're not so keen about playing.
Yeah, it just felt like all night they were up against some force, right? Maybe it's a David Harris force or something. Like, I don't know if you saw this too. Did you see Pierre Engvall dump the puck in the power play in the first period? I laughed at that. Gordon.
Yes. Yes. No.
What was that?
And guy made a great play later on. But you're yes. right. No. But those are the ones, Nick, that you're watching a game and you kind of go like, you know, like that's a mental error. There's other things you can't help. Like when a player falls down, you can't get ticked at him. I know it's annoying if it's a 2-on-0 breakaway and they score, but the guy fell down. But other things like that, you kind of go, hey, is your head in the game? You know what the coach is looking for people to establish themselves on the third and fourth line. And you need a goal, and we need to get some tempo going, need a lot of things, and you're going to do that? Yeah, that one really stood out.
Yeah, but again, he wasn't the only guy who struggled, and he only played sparingly on the power play. I think that was his only shift, but it was just really, really bizarre for me to dump the puck in when you have a man advantage, but so be it. Again, Austin Matthews, Gord, we've talked how hot this guy has been. It had to end eventually. You know, the point streak, whether it be 16 unofficially or 13 officially, just the second game of the season, Gord, Austin Matthews held pointless, but he had opportunities in this game. Just no puck luck, I thought, overall for the Leafs in this game.
Yeah, no, not that either. And again, good on the Calgary Flames, whatever it was. I mean, the Leafs, the chances came more from Mikhaev on breakaways. Spets had a pretty good one. I mean, Morgan Rielly, they thought he put one in, then Tavares looked like. So, I mean, yeah, there was none of those. But you're right, as far as Matthews and Marner, usually after a game, you're talking about a goal each or two goals for Matthews and chances that way. And flat out didn't. And they got lots of ice time, and it's going to happen over an 82-game season. It's going to happen over a 56-game season.
So, Gord, we're going to play Sheldon Keefe, obviously, later on, but quotes coming out for him speaking right now says, Frederik Andersen is day-to-day. That's all I got for you. Where is your level of concern when it comes to Jack Campbell not being ready, where they're at in the standings right now, and the fact that Michael Hutchinson is the number three goalie for this team?
Like when you go past Highway 48 and has like the whole fire thing, you know, like about forest fire thing, yellow, orange, whatever,
there.
The color kind of thing. I'm okay. I don't like doing the chick a little thing, so I'm not doing.
Nope.
So I'm gonna use the word not panic, not whatever. I'm very concerned. Goaltending injuries. You know, the Ottawa Senators are still waiting for Dominik Hasek's nagging groin injury from the Olympics. And basically,
what a
reference.
Good,
well, good on the great late Ray Emery, how he played. But no, I mean, Ottawa had a team that was vying for Stanley Cup back then, and he never got back and was able to play. And I'm a little concerned with both those goaltenders being out. So, day to day, that could mean week to week, but we shall see.
It's like, here we go again. That was my feeling as soon as I saw that. And, you know, I'm curious to get your perspective. You know, I'm into the gambling world. We know the NHL is headed towards gambling. You were on the other side of the spectrum in management. Where do you sit on being more transparent with lineup news, injury news? Because to throw this, and maybe it's sheer coincidence. Do you think it was coincidence and just that minutes apart, both number one goalies out of the game tonight?
Nick, I 100%. Agree with you 100% in that once a partnership has been formed, which it has with gaming, because there's a lot of revenue, there's revenue opportunities. It's not considered dirty anymore.
Agreed.
I don't know what changed it from being dirty. I guess you're not in Vegas with showgirls and free alcohol for, I don't know, whatever, you know, things can be done a little bit easier nowadays. So now that you were in that business, that absolutely, there has to be an emphasis put on who your starting goaltender is and any injuries much earlier than it was announced tonight. And if it came down to a reason it was a late announcement, the league would have to investigate. I got to believe they're going to do that because it is a partnership now. It is they are taking a cut of it and they're cooperating with it. And I know it from you, and I know it from our son Justin, that prop bets are a way things are going to a way of the future. So that's something they really have to clean up.
And I know people were all over Twitter as soon as the news went down, and quite the troll job saying take the over in this game, and then we only hit three goals, right? Who would have expected that from Michael Hutchinson and David Riddick, but that's certainly one of the stories in this game. Just an off night, but again, Gord, the luxury of this schedule as we go to break, the Maple Leafs get another crack at Calgary on Wednesday night, right?
Yeah, and I've you know, I remember there was a TV show called Eight is Enough. I've decided two is enough. Three I'm not big on, but I like the two. I like the two, and in future, you know, when you make long trips like Calgary to Toronto, and maybe it should be considered. And I know even as we talk about the almighty dollar, certainly in the near future, like a lot of places, a lot of companies, they're going to look at expenses in a very different way than they did up till March 11th last year.
Imagine covering Arizona and St. Louis the last couple of weeks. You squared off in a weird seven-game series. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation postgame. Still to come, we'll hear some Zoom conversations. Sheldon Keefe and others, a 3-0 loss here for the Maple Leafs against the Calgary Flames. The out-of-town scoreboard, Trevor Zegras making his NHL debut tonight, among other storylines. The Florida Panthers continue to roll, so we'll get to that later on. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We need to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Fed back to Giordano. In along the boards, Gaudreau back to Giordano. Wrist shot coming. Scores! A tip in front of Michael Hutchinson. And instead of a tie game, it's 2-0 Calgary.
Yeah, too bad Jake Muzzin not in the lineup. He and Matthew Tkachuk, best friends, but not really. Breaking down a 3-0 loss here to the Calgary Flames. Tkachuk snapping a 9-game goalless drought in the process. Leafs Nation postgame continues here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. And I think for the first time of three matchups so far this season, I really noticed Matthew Tkachuk tonight, Gord. And maybe there's correlation to draw again with no Jake Muzzin in the lineup.
Yeah, these seem to be the kind of games that, you know, whether it's Josh Anderson or whatever it may be, there's just that little bit of sandpaper that Jake Muzzin gives the Maple Leafs. But we just saw Ottawa, and it's hard to ignore Brady Tkachuk. Boy, I love these Tkachuk guys. And but you're right against the Toronto Maple Leafs. First two, he wasn't, Matthew, that wasn't a standout. But tonight, you got the full Tkachuk value.
An all-time showdown with the Hughes brothers, among others, and the brothers around this league. I mean, it'd be a lot of fun, but you're right. The Tkachuk brothers doing their thing for the respective squads here in Canada right now. For now, we're going to head down to the Zoom podium where we hear from Sheldon Keefe.
So, Nick, a couple of things. Just a couple of the players talking about the Flames' desperation tonight and how that wasn't matched. What you saw from your vantage point, and then if we could get an update on Anderson too, please.
Yeah, I thought it was clear that the other team had a little more urgency tonight, for sure. I thought our team played like one that was expecting things to go bad and to not go our way today, rather than making it go our way. So I didn't like our mindset, you know, in that sense. Sorry, what was the second part of your question? What's the second part there, Terry?
Yeah, sorry, Sheldon. Just an update on Fred.
He's day to day. That's all I got for you. So I don't know what's going to happen from here.
Thanks.
Next up, we'll go to Kevin McGrann, Toronto Star. Go ahead, Kevin.
Two questions for you as well, Sheldon. The first one, is this the kind of game that worries you, or is it the sort of game where you say that's not really us and work to be better next time?
I think this is our 20th game of the season, so I think we've shown that this is not us.
The second question, just about Alexander Barabanov tonight, putting him where he did. He seemed to have a pretty good game from my point of view. What did you think of how he played?
Yeah, I thought he had good jump from the early going in the game. He was on the puck. You know, a strike to his game is, you know, is when he gets to play, you know, in the offensive zone. And I thought Willie had really great legs today and really got the puck there for that line. And, you know, he did some good things. His game got stalled a bit just because there's so many penalties, you know, and had to sit for long periods of time. But you know, I thought he had some good looks today, hit the post or crossbar in there in the third. So that was positive.
Next up, we'll go to Chris Johnston, Sportsnet. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, Sheldon, obviously, I guess Travis Dermott's affected similarly by all those power plays, but I just wondered what you thought of his game that you saw.
Yeah, I thought he was fine. I'd have to watch the video back, you know, for more specifics, you know, specifics within his game. But I think jumped out as any issues. So I would say it was a fine game for him.
And last one here, we'll go to Mark Masters, TSN. Go ahead, Mark.
Sheldon, what did you feel was missing on the power play tonight? I guess the guys were saying there's a few good chances early on, but maybe the lack of scoring there led to other things as it went on. What did you see?
Yeah, I thought it was real slow. I do agree. I think, you know, if you get one there, you know, get one in the first there with the chances we had, Bo smashes it off the crossbar, you know, John gets a rebound, they pull it right off the goal line. That's essentially the difference in the first period. I mean, they had one get behind our goalie and squeak through and they put it in. We had one behind their goalie and he pulls it off the line. That essentially is, you know, is the difference in the score in the first period. Maybe if it goes in, it's a bit of a different game for us, but clearly special teams were the difference here today. Special teams, just because there were so many power plays both ways, there was no real flow to the game at all at 5-on-5. They get two power play goals. We got nothing to show for ours. You know, they get a squeaker to start the game. That's the game.
Coming into this game, what was the thought process with loading up the big guys? And just what did you see from them when they were out there together?
Well, I just thought, you know, a couple of things. Obviously, our depth has taken a significant hit here in the last little bit. You know, Hyman and Thornton in particular, and then you can add Simmons to that even. So, you know, Matthews and Marner have been going so well. Wanted to not to disrupt that line too much, and didn't love a lot of the options there to provide the type of things that Joe's brought to the line. So I thought putting John there, you know, might give us a chance to have one line that could really go tonight. And I thought we just have to, you know, sort of get good shifts and stay even on the rest. Obviously didn't play out that way. I think, you know, none of those guys, I don't think, had strong games. But I also think the power play, being what it was, took the wind out of a lot of the things 5-on-5.
Okay, there's Sheldon Keefe following a 3-0 loss here at Scotiabank Arena to the Calgary Flames. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you on Leafs Nation postgame. What did you make of what Coach Keefe had to say, Gord?
Well, I was looking at this while he's talking. Like, yeah. Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, William Nylander, John Tavares all played about 10 minutes on the power play, and Morgan Riley played just under 10. So, to the point, I mean, wow, they were out there forever, and that's what made the time on ice just all out of whack. I mean, the fourth line could have gone on an Uber Eats run or something like that. You know, just, and
nice
it's not. So when you get shut out, that just flat out didn't work. So it's not even just that he put Tavares with that line. That line had an incredibly inordinate number of power play chances. And he talks about, the power play killed the flow. But you got 7 chances, right? So it killed, and you got 0 for 7 on that. So, yeah, it was a game that this line had extraordinary chances or amount of time on the power play, but never really could seem to get going like they normally do.
And I know they were stripped of their depth, but that's certainly one of the things I noticed, how they just stayed out there for the entire 2 minutes every power play. And I just think as the game goes on, you know, wears away at you. And I think in the latter half of the game, the legs just didn't seem to be there for the Leafs as it was maybe in the first period, Gord.
Yeah, and I think there's the mental part of that, the mental part about that when you're struggling or losing or whatever it be. And, you know, Riddick, he made some big saves. And Hutchinson had some decent saves too along the way. But the Calgary goaltender, you know, really played phenomenally that way. Yeah. It just, you know, you get, you're not what we're used to seeing, whatever. It's like you got out the wrong side of the bed and you just can't get going. And, you know, you always thought if they got that one goal, then you see, okay. Because we've seen that before from the Leafs. They, you know, they're kind of like a shark seeing some blood, and all of a sudden there's a second goal 15 seconds later and on and on and on. And that just wasn't going to happen tonight.
A classic case of the Mondays. We all know how that feels. The Maple Leafs fall 3-0. Austin Matthews' point streak, officially or unofficially at that, 16 and 13 respectively, was going to end at some point in time. It did tonight. He he had ample opportunity, just couldn't cash. It was just one of those nights all around this Maple Leafs lineup. We hear now from Austin Matthews.
Austin, just wonder your thoughts on the game tonight. You guys looked a little bit out of sync to start things off. How did you see the game going?
Yeah, I just think we didn't really have a lot of jump to start the game with. And you know, obviously they played very desperate tonight. You know, things haven't probably haven't really been going the way that they wanted to lately. And they definitely came out with a purpose tonight. And, you know, we didn't really have any pushback.
I know you care more about winning than scoring, but your own personal little scoring streak came to an end. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's could really care less to talk about that, to be honest.
Fair enough. Thanks a lot.
Next up, we'll go to Terry Koshinat, Toronto Sun. Go ahead, Terry.
Austin, what do you think of the play of the three of you tonight in the line with John up there?
I mean, you know, I just don't think you know, myself. Mitchie, I just didn't really think we had good legs in those first, probably that first period and a half, two periods. I mean, that's on us, John. You know, John played well, and you know, we really didn't support him there in those first two periods. And then obviously, jumbled up the lines a bit. And I thought that third period, we, you know, definitely played better, had the puck a lot more in their zone, created some good chances that, you know, we just couldn't capitalize on. But I mean, in the end, it's, you know, getting it going in the third period, you know, really isn't acceptable. It's a little bit too late for that.
Some of the issues you're talking about tonight, did that bleed into the power play then, do you think, the chemistry and that sort of thing?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know, actually. We had some pretty good looks there on that power play and, you know, in the first period. And then I think the rest of it, just a little bit out of sync. So.
Clearly some disappointment coming out of the mouth of Austin Matthews tonight in a 3-0 loss. And that's going to happen when you're shut down. One of the best offenses in hockey is shut down. But Gord, I don't know if Calgary is going to hold them down forever, right?
I'd like to get someone, Nick, that just is honest and just gushes that, hey, you know, we lost 7-2, but I scored both goals.
Yeah, that'd be great for the game. Maybe it's Pasternak.
I know, I passed Pasternak tonight because I scored two goals, and we'll get points down the road. But you know, whatever, you know, seven, I wasn't my fault. I had my man most of the time, but I got two goals anyway. It's just
these guys are trained, Gord. I was thinking about that right away. Like, of course he cares. He's not going to say it, but of course he cares. And that's what makes Austin Matthews so great. And that's, he's so cerebral. Like, he loves scoring goals. And I got no problem with that, Gordo.
Yeah. And he just said, whatever the line was, we had no pushback or whatever the term may be, kind of whenever they got challenged, whenever there were the little battles and whatever. And we watched it. For whatever, good on the Calgary Flames, give them credit. But yeah, in this COVID experience, you do get a chance to go back on them on Wednesday, and of course we have that game on the Fan.
Can't wait for that one for sure. Meantime, John Tavares, the captain, played 22-30 in this loss. Let's hear what JT had to say.
Welcome, John. First up, we'll go to Kevin McGrann, Toronto Star. Go ahead, Kevin.
John, both Austin and Travis said before you that it felt like the team was just a bit flat tonight, that you didn't really have your legs, at least to start. Is there a reason for that? Do you agree with that? And like, what do you think happened out there?
Yeah, I mean, maybe we didn't have as much jump as we've had some nights where we've come out really strong and really dictated the play. You know, you guys asked me about them being a desperate team. I think they showed that throughout the night early as well. And regardless of how you feel, we got to find ways to get our game going and work to get the results. Sometimes it's come out on fire and we're moving well. Sometimes we got to find our game, work our way into it. And at times we did, and at times obviously we didn't. Special teams was a big part of tonight too.
We'll go to Terry Koshinat, Toronto Sun. Go ahead, Terry.
Hey, John, just your thoughts on the play of the line, getting moved to play with Mitch and Austin, and perhaps why it didn't appear to be quite in sync tonight.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to play with those two guys, obviously, you know, two of the best in the league. So, you know, I think just early on, we probably as a group, just trying to get our game going. I think as a team, we weren't as sharp, like we just talked about. So I thought as we got going throughout the first and into the second, generated some momentum and some good chances, had some looks around that. Obviously there was a lot of special teams tonight as well. And then Kiefer changed it up in the third. So, just try to create opportunities and capitalize when you get them.
Thanks.
And last one here, we'll go to Mark Masters, TSN. Go ahead, Mark.
John, what did you feel was missing on the power play tonight, I guess, and especially on the 5-on-3 chance?
Yeah, we just I think there was a couple power plays where we were hounding the puck well, executing our passes, which allows us to beat their pressure and get into the middle of the ice and get some good looks. We had some chances. You know, Mo hit the crossbar, and then after that, I wasn't able to follow through. So I just tried to chip it towards the net and hope it crossed the line. He made a good save right on the goal line. And it was just one of those nights, it felt like. And then we just kind of got away from it at times. I don't think we were as sharp. We didn't support the puck well enough, and we didn't just execute to, break down their pressure and get better looks.
So there is John Tavares and Gord pretty much echoing our sentiments throughout this show, eh?
Yeah. I just, his hair is pretty long, huh? John Tavares. I just thinking, it's just funny. You're just, they should have blamed it on Elliot Friedman's turtleneck that they finally saw it afterwards.
Elliot Burgundy?
Or something. Yeah. Ron Burgundy, Elliot Friedman. I mean, God love these guys. You're just trying to come up with stuff, right? You're trying to come up with stuff like, we're going to go to bed soon at some point. You'll stay up later than I do or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you have to answer about a day that wasn't the greatest, just one of those days at work or in life that just didn't go like normal, and you got to keep coming up with stuff. I could see that being hard and tiring.
Every day is Groundhog Day, at least here in Toronto. Lockdown will end in the year 2025, I think. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. The Maple Leafs lose 3-0 here to the Calgary Flames. We'll wrap things up after this, the out-of-town scoreboard, and get you set for Wednesday, game two of this mini two-game series at home again to the Calgary Flames. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave, but we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, Leafs fall to 14-4-2 on the season, a 3-0 loss to the Calgary Flames. This is Leafs Nation postgame, wrapping things up here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. The out-of-town scoreboard before we go. Some finals. The Islanders scored 3-2 over the Buffalo Sabres. The first of five games, the golden unicorn of schedules for the Sabres this week.
Jeff Skinner, a healthy scratch. Ouch.
That's expensive.
Ouch. Yeah. A lot of that's been going on, but, they battled. They won one on the weekend, but that's a nice win for the Islanders. And just like Tampa Bay Lightning are really flexing their muscle, right? The Atlantic Division, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Boston, Tampa Bay, Florida even, you name it. They've been the creme de la creme, and they beat a real good Carolina team 4-2 tonight.
You're right, and you talk about Florida Sunrise as well. The Panthers had 29 shots on goal in the second period. Chris Drieger's an exceptional story. 7-1-1 on the year, 24 saves. The Panthers defeat the Dallas Stars 3-1. You sort of feel for Rick Bowness and company in Dallas. Just can't get going this year because the inconsistency in games, right?
Well, and then the weather thing, which was just, as we learned, real dire and tragic in places in Texas. What happened last year, you're right about that. It's kind of a tough, this is like their second restart that way. And, the Los Angeles Kings, Gabe Vilardi gets one of the two goals. That's been a nice story because, some injury woes, some questions about him. They took him, 11th overall. And it's a bummer when you're rebuilding if your first round pick, can't contribute. And he's really finding a role. They're up 2-0 with 3 minutes left against St. Louis.
I documented in my 20 fantasy thoughts on Sunday just the fountain of youth by all these veterans being found early in this season. Joe Thornton, Jason Spezza here with the Maple Leafs, Dustin Brown, Jonathan Quick playing tonight for the Los Angeles Kings. Zdeno Chara, Mike Smith with the, it just, the list is endless, and it's really superb to see even in this season. The Vegas Golden Knights up 3-0 late in the second period on Colorado, a rematch of the Lake Tahoe game from this past weekend. Gord, Trevor Zegras making his NHL debut tonight. He is a +1, and the goal-starved Anaheim Ducks, if you can believe this, have 3 goals early in the second period. They're up 3-love on Arizona.
Well, hey, good on that. He really impressed in the World Junior Tournament. Vegas being up 3-0. I got to wonder, Gabriel Landeskog kind of said what a lot of Colorado players claim. They said they wanted to play after the first period on Saturday afternoon, and it was the Vegas boys that didn't want to play. Like, it was kind of weird. Like, you know, we wanted to play, and you guys didn't. And I'm thinking, like, I don't know, if you took a poll, you see the ice there and the risk of injuries? I know, so it's kind of weird. But he said that even after the, midnight, whatever. So I don't know if Vegas decided they wanted to bounce back and win the next game, and also a little pissed about these kind of comments that they were the weak of heart or something, and pushed to cancel a game that Colorado claims they still would have played in the afternoon.
Yeah, the Avs were on the power play entering the second, and they scored the first goal. That's why they felt that way. Gord, excellent stuff. We're going to do it again on Wednesday, starting with Leafs Nation pregame.
Can't wait. See you. Big bounce back opportunity for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
So there you have it, Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. 3-0 loss to the Calgary Flames. Make sure you join us on the Sportsnet Radio Network on Wednesday starting at 6:30 for Leafs Nation pregame. Many thanks to Luke Fox, Sam McKee, and Andrew Holland. I'm Nick Alberga. Thanks for listening.